Psalm number 3, hear God's word. O Lord, how my adversaries have increased. Many are rising up against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no deliverance for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the one who lifts up my head. I was crying to the Lord with my voice, and he answered me from his holy mountain. I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustains me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. For you have smitten all my enemies on the cheek. You have shattered the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be upon your people. Let's pray together. Father, again, thank you for your word. Thank you for the grace that you extend to us by means of this word which you have been pleased to give to us. Thank you also for the means of prayer. We thank you that you utilize these means to bring about your ends. And we ask that you'd be pleased to bring about the end of blessing us and perfecting your salvation in each one of our lives by these means, even this evening, as we are together. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. As you register your prayer requests each week and bring them before the congregation, there are several challenges that week by week that you hear. Challenges in individual families with regard to employment, with regard to health concerns, with regard to family members not knowing the Lord, etc., etc. Various challenges in this life. And you freely bring these prayer requests before the Lord in the name of Jesus Christ and lean upon Jesus Christ, longing, I think, to see the hand of God at work in your lives, in the lives of the members of your families and in other families in the congregation and in the congregation itself. And there's a little theme here, isn't there? That if you lean upon Christ, if you lean upon Christ in life's challenges, you see God's hand at work. You see Christ's hand at work. In fact, it's imperative that you lean upon Christ in life's challenges in order to see the hand of Christ at work. Is this not the case? And certainly this is what David is experiencing in the psalm which is before us as he cries out to God in a quite desperate family situation, family challenge. And as he does so, it's in retrospect, actually, that he sees the hand of God at work. And so that's the message for us from the psalm this evening. Lean upon Christ in life's challenges to see his hand at work in your life. As you look at the psalm and the title of the psalm, which is in these words, a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. This is actually part of the divine text. And in the Hebrew text, it's verse 1. And so it's part of the divine text and ought to be understood as such. And it gives to us, in this case, the setting for the psalm. When David fled from Absalom, his son. Absalom was the third son of David. And Absalom was of very fine countenance, we read in the scriptures. And he also had a sister who was quite beautiful, Tamar by name. And some of you will remember the story that Amnon, a half-brother of both Tamar and Absalom, seduced Tamar. And this aggravated Absalom not a little. And he waited no less than 2 years to avenge his sister. And he plotted the death of Amnon. Well, this aggravated David. It was one of David's sons. And so Absalom fled from Jerusalem for a time. And when he was restored, David did not allow him to come into his own house, but required Absalom to stay in his house. Well, this grieved Absalom to no end. And we read in the scriptures that Absalom spirited the people away from David. If you turn to 2 Samuel 15, let's read just a few verses here of this history. In 2 Samuel 15, verses 2 and following. 2 Samuel 15, and here we have this story of Absalom spiriting the people away from David. Verse 2 in 2 Samuel 15. Absalom used to rise early and stand beside the way to the gate, and when any man had a suit to come to the king for judgment, Absalom would call to him and say, "From what city are you?" And he would say, "Your servant is from one of the tribes of Israel." Then Absalom would say to him, "See, your claims are good and right, but no man listens to you on the part of the king." Moreover, Absalom would say, "Oh, that one would appoint me a judge in the land. Then every man who has any suit or cause could come to me, and I would give him justice." And when a man came near to prostrate himself before him, he would put out his hand and take hold of him and kiss him. In this manner, Absalom dealt with all Israel who came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole away the hearts of the men of Israel. Absalom was plotting against his father David. And if you look at verses 13 and 14 in 2 Samuel 15, "Then a messenger came to David saying, 'The hearts of the men of Israel are with Absalom.' David said to all of his servants who were with him at Jerusalem, 'Arise and let us flee, for otherwise none of us will escape from Absalom. Go in haste, or he will overtake us quickly and bring down calamity on us and strike the city with the edge of the sword.'" You see, Absalom had gathered a great number of men around him and declared himself to be king, replacing David. And so David fled from Jerusalem. It was in this circumstance, it seems, that David penned this psalm, Psalm number 3. Look at verse 30 in 2 Samuel 15. "And David went up the ascent of the Mount of Olives when he fled from Jerusalem, and he wept as he went, and his head was covered, and he walked barefoot. And then all the people who were with him each covered his head and went up, weeping as they went." And it's of no small consequence that David, king, and a type, a foreshadowing of Jesus Christ, went up the Mount of Olives, weeping as he did so. It was only a short time later that another man, we read in the 16th chapter, close to the Mount of Olives came out and began to curse David. Look at verse 5 in chapter 16. When David came to Bahurim, this is a little place on the road to Jericho, just a stone's throw from the Mount of Olives. Behold, there came out from there a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, son of Gera. He came out cursing continually as he came, and he threw stones at David and at all the servants of the king of King David, and all the people and all the mighty men were at his right hand and at his left. Thus Shimei said when he cursed, "Get out! Get out, you man of bloodshed, you worthless fellow! The Lord has returned upon you all the bloodshed of the house of Saul, in whose place you have reigned. And the Lord has given the kingdom into the hand of your son Absalom. And behold, you are taken in your own evil, for you are a man of bloodshed." And so it was that David fled Jerusalem. Turn back now, if you would, to Psalm number 3. With this background, look at verses 1 and 2. O Lord, how many are my adversaries? Oh, I should say, O Lord, how my adversaries have increased. Many are rising up against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no deliverance for him in God. And this was David's demeanor and thought as he left Jerusalem. Many, not only Absalom. And you remember when Absalom was killed, how David wept, "Oh, Absalom, my son Absalom." He loved Absalom, and this son of his had turned violently against him. And it was not only Absalom, but as I say, Absalom had gathered a great company around him, and so there were many, including this fellow Shimei, who threw stones at David and cursed David as he left Jerusalem. Oh, and they said of David, "God will not deliver him. There is no salvation for him in God." We can think of the Lord Jesus in this regard, can we not? As David was a type of Christ and a person who foreshadowed Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ on the cross. He believed in God. Let's see if God will come down and save him. And they mocked our Lord. And so it was. David understood his adversaries. And our Lord understood his adversaries also. And isn't it incumbent upon each of you to understand your adversaries? To know those who oppose you, and they might even be of your own family? I remember when I showed my parents the letter of acceptance I had to go to seminary, and my father looked at me and said, "You're going to give up a perfectly good career in the army for that?" And with some disdain he spoke to me with regard to my future. Yes, there are adversaries, and they can be very personal. And we say, do we not, "Sticks and stones can break my bones, but names will never hurt me." Ha! they do hurt when we receive the brunt of them. But then notice not only the posture of the enemy, but at the end of the psalm, God's posture, God's stance. Look at verses 7 and 8. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you have smitten all my enemies on the cheek. You have shattered the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing is upon your people. Do you see it there? Your blessing is upon your people. Praise God, this is the case. God's blessing amounts to, at least in part, God's word being spoken upon people like you and me. God's good word being spoken upon people like you and me. And what God speaks, is it not true, comes to pass. And when God has a good word to speak about you and me, you can be assured that it will indeed come to pass. And it has to do also, this blessing of God, with prayer. Prayer in which we've already engaged. Prayer which we've spoken of. And I think of the Lord Jesus in prayer. That great high priestly prayer that's recorded for us in John 17. When he prays, it says, he prays not only for his disciples, speaking to the Father. He says, I pray not only for these, but I pray for those who will believe through their word. Think about that for a moment. Are you not here this evening because of the words of the disciples transmitted to you through Scripture and transmitted to you through preaching and teaching of the Scriptures? You are here believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, having heard the words of the disciples in answer to the very prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are a recipient of the blessing of the answer to the prayer of the Savior recorded in John 17. What a blessing that is for us to be able to understand that this is the case. And you are, as verse 8 says, a recipient of the salvation that belongs to the Lord. He blesses his people, the people whom he called out from the foundation of the world to be his through his Son, Jesus Christ. He blesses them with his salvation, with his blood-bought salvation. And you are recipients of the salvation that belongs to the Lord. Praise God, this is the case. And God's stance with regard to you is to bless you. That's his stance. And so David says in verse 7, arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. Based upon God's posture, David utters this prayer. And then he utters these striking words, for you have smitten all my enemies on the cheek. You have shattered the teeth of the wicked. Strong words. And you get the picture of God reaching down from heaven and with the back of his hand smiting the cheek of each of his enemies and breaking their jaws and shattering their teeth, and as it were, stilling every utterance that comes from their mouths, so that they cannot any longer speak against God's people. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. David is casting himself upon the Lord and trusting in him in the midst of this challenge. And you would say more of a challenge, would you not? This rather stark family situation in which his son has risen up against him to overthrow his kingdom. And so David understands the posture of the Lord and entrusts himself to the Lord. Look with me at verses 3 and 6 in the psalm. Let's look at verse 6 first of all. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me round about. Knowing the posture of the enemy, knowing God's posture with regards to his people, now we get a picture of David's stance. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me round about. Well, I don't know about you, but I know about me. I don't need 10,000 to come against me. One would be enough. And I remember a situation in the dark days of a pastorate years ago when I met with the leaders of the congregation I was serving before morning worship to pray, just like we pray upstairs. And there was a controversy in the congregation. And I said to the leaders, don't you realize that the devil is having his hand in this situation? And one of the men looked me in the eye and said, Denny, you are the chief emissary of the devil in this situation. You can imagine the icy frost that descended upon that little room. And I was about to preach in those circumstances. Well, you can imagine going to an important meeting or teaching a Sabbath school class after receiving such an indictment. One enemy or adversary is sufficient. But look at verse 3. But you, Lord, are a shield about me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. You are my defense and glory, O God, and the one who lifts up my head. And the picture, friends, is this. The picture of a parent taking tenderly a child and grasping that face and lifting up the head and saying, fear not, fear not. Your family is with you, and you are in the hands of protection. And so our God reaches down and lifts up our heads to look on high, where Christ is seated on the throne of the majesty, to know that he is, as the psalm says, a shield and defense about you and me. And knowing this, what does David do? Verse 4. I was crying to the Lord with my voice, and he answered me from his holy mountain. David now, having fled from Jerusalem, and Absalom taking the throne, but David crying out to the Lord and knowing that God could hear him in any place where he might be, that is, David. He did not have to be in God's house, which was upon that holy mountain. And significantly, when Zadok the priest brought the Ark of the Covenant out of Jerusalem and was following David and fleeing with David's men and company, David said to Zadok, "Take the Ark back. Take the Ark back into Jerusalem." Well, David had some other ideas with regard to Zadok, because he knew that Zadok would be his friend in the midst of those adversaries. But David also knew that he did not have to have the representation of God's presence when he had the real presence of God wherever he might be. And so it is with you and me, my friends. I was crying to the Lord with my voice, and he answered me from his holy mountain. When Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane cried to the Lord, who was in the holy mountain of the heavenly Jerusalem, Jesus Christ knew his Father in heaven heard every word he uttered. And so it is with you and me. Every word that comes off your lips in prayer, he hears, and he does answer. Oh, we might not always agree with the answer, but he does answer appropriately in accordance with each of our individual needs. So he answers. And what does David then say in verse 5? I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustains me. Knowing the posture and the stance of his adversaries, knowing the stance of God, his Father, David took his stance in prayer before the Father in his personal challenge, and he took his rest. Is that not what the psalm says? I lay down and slept. And you can only do that, friends, when there is an implicit trust in what God will do. You can take your rest. And what does the next line say? I awoke. Yes, I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. Have you not had this experience? When you've gone to prayer, and then taken your rest. And in the morning, when you are awakened and your head is clear, you realize, yes, I am here, and all is well because the Lord has sustained me. And it doesn't matter in the end what the situation in life might be. The Lord sustains you and me. I am rather overcome by the stance of our present president, a man who has made publicly professions of faith in Christ. And I wouldn't agree with all of his theology. I wouldn't agree with all of his positions and decisions. But is it not true that a man who has been vilified and attacked month after month and year after year has maintained a stance publicly and, I believe, privately? I read just this last week an op-ed piece in the Wall Street Journal written by one of his staff members who said in part, I went to a senior staff meeting at 7:30 one morning to the Oval Office. And Mr. Bush was sitting at his desk reading a daily devotional. I don't know how a man can stand with the pressures and challenges he has had without leaning on Christ. And it's no different with you and me. And I suspect that this man, when he departs from office, will be able to look back and see the hand of God. And so it will be with each one of you, and so it will be with me. When you lean upon Christ in life's challenges, you will see the hand of God. It will come in retrospect. You will have to look back. And so be patient. Be patient. This was one of the great virtues of David, his patience. And so it was with Jesus Christ, his patience. And so, as you lean upon Christ in life's challenges, you will have the opportunity too to look back and see the hand of God. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that we are challenged by it. And we pray, Lord, that by your grace, we might more and more lean upon Jesus Christ, and more in life's challenges, we might lean upon him. And I thank you, Father, that if we heard the testimonies of men and women and young people here in this room this evening, we would hear testimonies of how individuals, one after another, have seen the hand of God at work in their lives. Thank you that this is the case. Grant us grace and faith to lean in all of our challenges upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and give us patience so that when we look back, we will indeed be able to see your good hand has been at work in each one of our lives. Bless us to this end, we do pray, in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen.